You're listening to Spreaker Web Radio.
God, amen, amen. God bless you, amen. God bless you. Welcome to one of our live segments here, amen. We're broadcasting live from Temple, Texas, amen, for our Sunday morning services, amen. We want to welcome you, all those that are listening live by way of Facebook, and those that are listening on the radio archive or on our website. God bless you, amen. We also want to welcome everyone who's in attendance here today on the Kingdom Exclusive Ministries. Praise God. We're going to get started here, and I'm going to continue with the message that we started on last Sunday, titled The Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit in advancing the kingdom of God through his gifts. Amen. We had such a phenomenal time on last Sunday, and I just want to kind of pick up where we left off at. But I'm going to kind of what I'm going to do here is do some quick review as we go forward in this message on today. Amen. Again, we want to welcome all of you that's listening live. If it's your first time listening, my name is Apostle L.A. Hill. I'm the Apostolic Overseer for Kingdom of Jesus Ministries International here in Temple, Texas. Amen. We have services live here every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. You can visit us at the Quality Inn Hotel, which is right off of I-35 at exit 302 near the Nugent exit, 1610 West Nugent Avenue. Praise God. And if you want to get any more information about what we do in this ministry, you can visit our website at www.kingdomexousia, that's EXOUSIA.org. Praise God. Amen. Again, that's www.kingdomexousia.org. Amen. And if you want to make contact with our ministry and speak to someone directly, you can call 1-800-724-0245. Again, that's 1-800-724-0245. 4 or 5. Praise God. Amen. Let's get into the word real quickly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go back and kind of review quickly what we discussed on last Sunday. This is an awesome word. I believe God is going to do some great things here. Amen. As I begin to teach this, if you've never been in a ministry where they really flow heavily in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I want to definitely encourage you to come out. We got some wonderful things that are happening here. You can definitely come to this place and be changed by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. So let's go there to the scriptures. I'm going to begin to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read all the way to verse 11. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all, or all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will." Praise God. So what we talked about last week, and I'm just going to kind of bring you up for those that are listening. I want to encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the message on last Sunday, it is recorded. It's in the archive. You can just go to our website and get that information and how you can obtain it. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most popular listened to segments right now on our website. So if we look at that, one of what we were talking about last week was that the two foundation stones, which is the greatest thing about the gifts of the Spirit, are unity and love. And we talked about how these two elements are essential to the Holy Spirit and the function of the church. I'm telling you, there's no way that you can really operate in ministry without unity and with love. We got so much isms and schisms in the body of Christ that it's ridiculous right now. As a matter of fact, even in that same chapter where we're reading it, if you look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you look at the verse 24, I'll actually read 24, 25, and 26. It says here, he says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So basically what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that it's essential for us to get together, y'all. We can't have no division in the church. And that's one of the breakdowns. And like we discussed on last Sunday, that's one of the objectives of the enemy, to keep us from advancing the kingdom of God. If he can break up our unity and pull us apart and get us all clicked up in the congregation, he can easily conquer and divide us. And that's his objective. He does that in the church. He does that in the workplace, and he does it in marriages and in the family units. If we can get one family member always keeping up mess and always got some something going on and talking about folks and saying this is that going on and this is what that was going on over here, eventually that's going to tear that family apart. And so you have to be careful, because the enemy's objective is to keep you separated. And if he can keep you separated, he can keep you even away from the love of God. And how do we find the love of God? We find it through one another. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Let's talk about real quickly what we discussed. We talked about the differences of administration. Now let's talk about the diversities of gifts first. We talked about the diversities of gifts, which is right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, now there were diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we talked about the three breakdowns of the gifts of the Spirit, is which we're going to really go into depth in on today. We talked about the revelation gifts, we talked about the power gifts, and we talked about the inspiration gifts. The revelation gifts are the gifts that say something. The power gifts are the gifts that do something. The inspiration gifts are the gifts that reveal something. And so you got these three categories of gifts. There's nine total gifts of the Spirit that are that the Holy Spirit gives us to operate in as a body of Christ. What I love the most about this text is that the Apostle Paul tells us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And so one of the things that happens when we begin to operate in these three diversities of gifts, these revelation, these powers, and these inspirational gifts, it causes the church to profit. It causes us to advance the kingdom. The church begins to grow and it begins to advance as we utilize these diversities of gifts. Look at the next one. It says the differences of administration, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. It says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So you never compare your gift or your giftings with the next person. Everybody's gift will operate a little differently. One may flow a little differently under the gift of prophecy than the other one. Some may flow differently under the word of knowledge than the other one. I like the prophet, what's his name? Let me think of his name real quickly. It's going to come to my spirit in a minute here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look him up over in Acts. This was an unusual prophet, and he operated, his gifting was quite different, and he would definitely be an example of an administration of the prophetic. If you look, matter of fact, let's go there. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 11. And let's just look at this prophet. He was very different, very, very different. Yes, that's his name. And that was the one I was hearing in my spirit. It was Prophet Agabus. You look at the Prophet Agabus, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, chapter 11, verse 28, it says, matter of fact, I'll read verse 27. It says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great birth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So now this is the prophet Agabus. He's prophesying about a famine that was coming. And you'll hear about him again. As a matter of fact, I want to say over in Acts chapter 21, if I'm not mistaken, you'll hear about Agabus again. No, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 21 in verse 10 and 11. You hear about the prophet Agabus again. He's a very peculiar prophet. He didn't operate in the same instance as most traditional prophets. If you read here, it says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, Watch this. This is the differences of his administration. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind a man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So he was telling them, in other words, he took the girdle, he took pretty much like his scarf, he took it and he started to bind himself up in it. Probably got down in the floor and tied his hands up in it and got to a point where he couldn't get loose. And then he began to prophesy. He said, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Holy Ghost, whoever owns this girdle, the same is going to happen when you go back to Jerusalem. The Jews are going to bind you up. They're going to try to take you to prison." And that's exactly how he was prophesying. So do you see different? There's always a difference of administration through the Holy Ghost on how he operates and administrates the gifts. Everybody will prophesy different. Everybody won't utilize and won't do the same thing. And you got right now, you maybe live in a time where you got so many copycat prophets. You got so many people who try to duplicate other ministries that they can't find the distinguishment in their character and how they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody want to sing like Fantasia. Everybody want to sing like Jill Scott. Everybody want to sing like Shirley Caesar or so on and so forth. And sometimes God will allow you to minister. He'll tap into those wells of your belly and you'll flow very differently. And that's what the scripture is in reference to here is talking about the differences of administration. Praise God. So look at the next one, the diversities of operation. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 6. It says, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all." So every ministry and every ministry gift do not operate the same. One apostle don't operate like the other apostle. One prophet don't flow like the other prophet. And some ministries, again, we talked about that on last week, that some ministries reach people by way of internet. Right now, our ministry is not only we're ministering live at the conference room here in Temple, Texas, amen, but we're reaching people by way of the internet and over the airwaves. And so you got a lot of ministries that reach people differently. Some people may just go outside and they like to shake hands at Walmart and pray for people. These are different operations of ministry, how people are met. So we should never question the differences of gifts. We should never question the differences of administration. And we should never question the diversity of operations on how the Holy Spirit utilizes and ministers through us. We should always maintain a Christ-like attitude and understand that God will operate differently. Praise God. So no matter how, even if your ministry is big or little, the Lord will use you the way he want to use you. And so, you know, and what brought us into this place, and then let's just go ahead and we're going to move right into what we discussed, and I'm just going to kind of flow because I think probably, again, out of these two parts of this message, probably the main thing that we want to talk about as far as the operation of the gifts of the Spirit is love. You know, oftentimes I hear and see so many different posts on Facebook and people always talking about false gifts and people, all they do is flow in gifts. You got some folks that's all they know how to flow in. They never been taught how to love. And that's not to say that they're bad people. They've just never been taught how to have a godly love to other individuals. Come on, say amen to that. Some people have never had an opportunity to be in a place where they can be unified and being with a group of people that truly and sincerely love them and that don't have any other intentions other than but to love them. The Bible says to owe no man nothing but to love him. Amen. And so some people, they don't know that they can profit in the church by showing love, but at the same time, God will utilize those talents and those anointings that's on their life to skillfully advance the kingdom. So look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." And so we'll just kind of pick up and we'll just review this in great detail from where we left off there. The gifts will advance the kingdom. So when there is unity and love flowing through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the benefits we gain in the advancement of the kingdom is through the unity and the love. So the term profit, again, that term profit means any advantage or any benefit to improve, to be made better or wiser. So it's quite essential for us to want a prophet. Amen. We want a prophet. That word prophet, it brings, but through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, when we begin to operate under the power gifts, it profits the church. When we begin to operate under the inspirational gifts, it profits the church. When we begin to operate under the power gifts, it benefits and profits the church. It begins to make us wiser. It begins to put us in balances and checks, or checks and balances, even when the enemy tries to interrupt our churches. Amen. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." In the New International Version, it says, "Or forcefully advances the kingdom." So with spiritual force, through the manifestation of the gifts in operation, we advance or we profit the kingdom. Amen. So our gifts are not used in a carnal or fleshly manner, but by spiritual wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war." So for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We know that, as the scripture says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we use wisdom, and wisdom is part of profiting in the kingdom. Amen. We need that wisdom. We need that intervention of wisdom to profit us when we advance the kingdom. And it's wise for me to teach my people or to teach the congregation. Hey, the first thing that we're going to learn how to do before we start operating and flowing in all of these gifts of the Spirit, the first thing that we'll do is we'll learn how to love on one another. And we'll learn how to have an unconditional love like the Father has for us. And we'll learn how to operate in unity. Nothing disturbs me the most than to have inconsistency and folks that just can't get it right and get it on one accord. You always got one person always trying to be better than the next, and then they won't even go to the point to acknowledge you of who God appointed you as. It's not nothing to have to do with age. It don't have nothing to do with experience. It is all about honoring the people who God set before you. It's that koinonia, that kingdom fellowship that God wants us to have. Amen. You'd be surprised how many folks, you know, they you know, and everybody has their reasons, and it can be kind of frustrating sometimes. A lot of us go through seasons where we become unchurched, or we're not a part of a church, we're not a part of a ministry, we're not active with the things of God. Amen. But at some point, you've got to find yourself getting in a place of unity, getting on one accord with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they always bring profit. They always advance us. They benefit the kingdom. When each of us bring our assets together and the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to function among us, the church or the body of Christ, the citizens of the kingdom, will profit and benefit together. Amen. So let's look at verses 12 and 13, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to start jumping into this work, because I really want to talk about the signs of the gifts again here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 12 and 13, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul pleads again with the believers for the Lord concerning unity. The Holy Spirit is grieved when his children are fighting and bickering among one another. It's always been a plan of Satan from the very beginning to keep us divided. The very first thing that he tried to do was divide Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the first thing he tried to do. He tried to get Eve to think that she can become better than Adam, and if she succeeded with him, if he succeeded with her, certainly he would succeed with Adam. He was trying to divide them. The first compound or the first objective was to break up the marriage. If he could break that marriage apart, he could definitely get the rest of the world and everything that was going on in it. That's his main objective. Break it up. The very thing that God puts together, that's the very thing that the enemy will try to pull apart. If he can get it in your mind and he can make you think it, then he's succeeding even at that. And that's why you got to know that wisdom is better than weapons of war. You don't try to get back and get revenge and nothing like that. No, you're supposed, you know, the very weapon that you use is love. The Bible says that love casts out all fear. So you start using that love will bring you back into unity. Come on. I don't care how bad the situation get. I don't care how bad the cliques get in some of your churches, so many of the ministries and some of the people that you in fellowship with, even on your job, if you can find a way to put that love back in place, it'll conquer all that fear. It'll start to burn up all that other wickedness that's going on because you start showing love. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Not with frowning and agitation. That don't draw nobody. It's love and kindness. Come on, somebody say amen. So let's look at this. Let me show this, and then I'm gonna jump into the breakdown of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. So ministry gifts are being raised up now in the 21st century that will literally dismantle the doctrinal error of many leaders that have taught over the years and focus more attention on the principles of the kingdom of God by settling all these denominational differences for once and for all. The body of Christ is not bound together by denominations and doctrines, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's something worth noting right there. That's definitely something worth noting. The body of Christ is not bound together by denominations and doctrines, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man, I don't care if you're a black man, I don't care if you're a white man, I don't care if you're an Asian man, I don't care what kind of man, a Mexican man, whatever kind of man you are, a man female, a man male, it doesn't matter what kind of man you are. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All that crap that you used to do back in the day, all those things that you've been involved in, all those situations and setbacks, all those problems, all that grief that you had is regarding because you was in sin. The Bible says, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Amen. If a person belongs to Jesus Christ, he or she belongs to you too. And that's something that we need to begin to accept, y'all. We just don't honor one another like we should. We don't have enough care. You know, I saw a posting on Facebook just a little while ago that my baby brother posted. He was talking about selfishness. And a lot of times we have to be to a point where we just think so lowly of our own selves that we got to start caring for one another. We got to start having a will to want to, just to share and be a part of somebody else's dealings and whatnot. You know, not to get all up in their business and to the point where you're just being nosy. That's not the type of stuff I'm talking about. But just to have a lot more, a more caring attitude. Just to be more willing to, hey, you need anything I can do for you? Can I help you with anything? Stuff like that. And we shouldn't be so honorary where we don't accept people when they're trying to love on us either. I ain't going to get no amens on that either, boy, I tell you. Praise God. So, again, if a person belongs to Jesus Christ, they belong to us too. Amen. They do. There's a strength and a force in our unity. When believers get on one accord and come together as one body, the power and love of God will bring instant impact. It just does something that just literally overwhelms us. So let's talk about the sign gift. The sign gifts. Let's talk about that. We talked about the diversities of gifts, the power gifts, and I want to just kind of jump into this. I think this is probably just as important in this lesson because it teaches us how each gifting, there's nine gifts of the Spirit, and how we interact with these gifts and go forth on these gifts as well. So let's look at these sign gifts. Sign gifts are supernatural endowments that God places within our lives. Spiritual gifts are given to us as a special service for the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit, the third person that, you know, most people refer to, which is the governor who brings them in, distributes them, and chooses which gift we will have and allows these gifts to flow out of us and into the world. So, you know, when God begins to, you know, the moment we receive the Holy Spirit, when we come into Christ, immediately we receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. They're nine gifts of the Spirit, and some of us can flow. So there's some that can flow in all nine. There's some that may only flow in eight. There's some that may flow in three, and some that may only flow in one. But all in all, it's still the same Spirit that worketh all in all, and it's the same Lord. Amen. So one thing that we need to do is, especially as leaders, we should be encouraged to exhort the church in the area of gifts, of the gifts of the Spirit, and impart spiritual gifts. Gifts can be activated through prophecy and the laying on of hands. Many believers have gifts laying dormant on the inside of them, and they can be stirred through apostolic and prophetic ministry. Let's look at a scripture. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Let's look at that scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We want to thank God again for all that are listening live, and those that didn't have an opportunity to attend their own church services on this morning, we praise God for you. Amen. Those that just may have missed church all the way around, and you came across our broadcast in the archive, we thank God for you joining us as well. I pray that this message is blessing you. Amen. And we're just going to continue, because this is a very powerful word, a much needed word right now in the body of Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." So the presbytery is basically just a team of leaders. It could be a bunch of elders, apostles, and prophets. Amen. Those that feel strongly in a gift of prophecy or have a very powerful prophetic mantle on their life. Amen. That could be made up of the presbytery. So it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands." So a lot of times how we stir up these gifts and how these gifts begin to manifest in our life is they come through the laying on of hands and through the prophetic presbytery. I was sharing on last Sunday, I never forgot, when I was 5 years old, I remember the man of God laying hands on me and praying for me. And I don't even know if he even realized the impartation that I received even on that day. A lot of times when hands are laid on us and prophecy comes forth, a lot of times we don't know where we're getting imparted into. The man or the woman of God could be praying, and they could be speaking some things over our life. But a lot of times, because of the transmittal of the Holy Ghost, and I want to really correct this in the body of Christ, because when we receive something that is scriptural through the invitation of the Holy Ghost, we're not always getting a transmittal of devils, but we're also receiving a transmittal of the Holy Ghost. And it's very scriptural for us when we have hands laid on us to begin to receive something from the Holy Ghost or from God, from straight from the throne room. So when we operate under the unction of what was written here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're also receiving some gifts of the Spirit that we might not even realize that we're receiving at the time. We may have never flowed in the word of knowledge, but because of the laying on of hands and the prophetic word that was released over your life, you may all of a sudden begin to manifest strongly in the word of knowledge. It may be that psalm is anointing on the inside of you, may be getting to bubble up a whole lot more. You were able to sing regular songs, but now all of a sudden you start hearing something drop out of heaven into your spirit, and you begin to sing songs, and that same anointing that was on the prophetess Miriam and the prophetess Deborah or Deborah, that same anointing for singing prophetically begins to come on you. So you never know what comes as a result of the gifts that begin to stir, that they have been laying dormant and on the inside of you, how they result from the laying on of hands. Gifts are needed in order to fulfill the callings and ministries upon individuals or believers. Let's take an intense look right now at the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and their distinction. I'm sorry, distinction. I can't even say the word right. Distinctions. distinctions. Amen. Amen. I'm jacking that word up good today, ain't I? Amen. So let's look at this. Let's look at the power gifts. The power gifts. We talked about that earlier as that being one of the three diversities or the three categories of the diversities of gifts. Amen. The power gifts. The power gifts are the gifts that do something. These are the gifts of the Spirit that do something. Out of the nine gifts of the Spirit, three of them do something. And these gifts include, number one, the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing are God super, where God supernaturally heals the sick through a ministry anointed by the Holy Spirit. There are many gifts of healing and many ways to be healed. This gift is also functioning as a separate ministry. Amen. It's a separate functioning in ministry. Look at this. Watch this. Go look at 1 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 28. It's a separate functioning ministry. It says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. And then watch this. If you can put quotations around this in your Bible, it says then gifts of healings. And so you have gifts of healings as not only just a power gift or a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a separate ministry gift functioning in the church. Amen. There, sometimes you may need groups of people that flow very strongly in the gifts of healing. I remember there was a team, a husband and wife couple back in the 80s. Francis Hunter, her name, and I forget her husband's name right up front, but they used to send teams of people out to different ministries that were coming to the churches, and they would teach people how to flow in the gifts of healing. As a matter of fact, I was a part of one of those teachings. I got a strong impartation as a result of that ministry, and they began to teach people how to strategically operate in healing, where legs and limbs would grow out. People would receive a supernatural healing and from internal issues and so on and so forth. And so you learn quite a bit from operating under the gifts of healing. Amen. And so that's a separate functioning ministry as well as the operation or the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at number two. The number two power gift is the working of miracles. The working of miracles is a supernatural recurrence working beyond our natural comprehension. It's something beyond what our mind can fathom. The doctors will say one thing, but God will say another. That's literally a miracle. It's a person doing a supernatural act by the divine energy of the Holy Spirit. It's also a separate functioning ministry. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 again. It says here again, it says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Is one of the fourth operating ministry functions in the church, miracles. Notice that miracles actually come before healing. So, you know, miracles is essential in the body of Christ. We need the working of miracles as a functioning in our everyday church. I don't know about y'all, but I would be glad to set aside programs and just let the service come in and we just operate in the supernatural and just operate in miracles. A lot of times what we call supernatural is basically, you know, we just looking for an awesome service. No, I want to have a service where we're talking about the supernatural. We're not only teaching people how to flow with miracles, but we're also teaching people or people are coming in and miracles are manifesting just as well. Praise God. So number two is the working of miracles. Number three, the number third power gift is the gift of faith. The gift of faith do something. I don't know about y'all, but faith do something. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's just not the evidence of things we can't see yet. The gift of faith. God is God bringing to pass a supernatural change. It is unlimited. God is the source of his energy. So faith is something that is essential that needs to operate in, especially our everyday life. faith can even become a ministry. You know, they call quite a few leaders the apostle of faith. You hear about so many different testimonies on how their faith was in action, how their faith was in motion. And we have to certainly become believers, especially nowadays, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't be concerned about what we see. We have to walk by faith. We have to believe God for certain things to come to pass. When we pray, you got to have some faith when you pray. You got to have some faith when you believe in God for certain mountains in your life to be removed. You got to have faith in God. That's just the only way we're going to make it. Sometimes a circumstance can arise in our life, a situation where we may need to make payments, make bills. We may need where family members become sick. You know, that unity and that love, when we can begin to combine that together and we begin to combine our faiths together, we begin to profit from that, because as a result of our faith grouping together on one accord in one place, instantly God begins to supernaturally change the place or release a change in the atmosphere. It's nothing like the Bible says, two or three gathered in my name. Amen. Praise God. So these power gifts are important for kingdom breakthrough. They're important for the church to advance the kingdom of God. They're important for the church to experience profit in the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with entertaining words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of that of the Spirit and of power." Amen. There's another scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 20. And it says, I may be off on that scripture, but it says that, "And the kingdom of God is not in word, but is in power." And so when we talk about preaching the kingdom and the manifestation of God's kingdom and the Spirit of God, we're not just coming up in there and we're not just shaking everybody's tree with a good word and closing up the book and play the Hammond B3 and everybody get a good shout in. It's just not work like that. The kingdom of God, when it releases through preaching, is not to entertain us. It's not to get us excited. It's not to give your neighbor a high five and turn around and three times and touch the neighbor next to you and say, "God got it. God gonna do it." No, that's not a miracle. That's not a manifestation of God's kingdom. When we begin to release God's presence and begin to talk about his power and his glory and how it operates in the church, there has to be a demonstration, and we have to understand the power and God's glory and how it flows through the gifts of his Spirit even through us. So keep in mind, spiritual gifts are like a chain. Each one of us is linked with the next one, and the next one each one of us is linked, the next one in such a way that you'll operate in several of them at the same time. So if I'm linked up next to one person that operates in the gift of faith, and I'm linked up next to another one that operates in the gift of the gifts of healing, I'm linked up with another one that's operating strongly in the gift of working of miracles, something's going to happen. There's going to be such a power that's released in the congregation that the church will begin to advance as a result of it. Every time there's a move of God regarding healing and miracles and signs and wonders, you'd be surprised how the church experienced growth. There's such an amazement of God's power that's utilized in the church. Let's talk about the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal something. The revelation gifts are the gifts that reveal something. Let's look at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a revelation gift. The word of wisdom is the revealing of the prophetic future under the anointing of God. The word of wisdom is the revealing of the prophetic future under the anointing of God. And I'm gonna kind of move into these real quickly because we talk about a lot of these a lot. Number two, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is the revealing of a fact in existence that can only be supernaturally revealed. It is not seen or heard naturally. The word of knowledge is a revelation gift, and it is the revealing of a fact in existence that can only be supernaturally revealed. It is not seen or heard naturally. Now, the interesting thing about the word of knowledge, it can also be confused sometimes with the gift of prophecy. And sometimes, you know, and some of y'all may have seen me operate like this a lot of times when the Holy Spirit is really moving and there's certain people that are among us and I can hear the Lord saying there's someone here that has an obstructive vow and you need to come up for prayer right now, or God is healing you right now. There's someone with constant chest pains. God is healing you right now. You know, different things of that nature. These are supernatural things that are revealed that are not in existence to other people's knowledge at that moment. And so God begins to move supernaturally by the revelation that's being revealed at that moment so that people can receive it. And that's what I mean also by the linking, because the word of knowledge can be linked to the gifts of healing and also to the working of miracles. All of these begin to flow all in all in one. Praise God. So know the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Especially concerning fact and future, you got to know the difference. Sometimes a word of wisdom, sometimes God will give you some wisdom. He may be, sometimes you can operate both the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge together. The Lord may say, hey, there's somebody that's experiencing some tremendous setback. And it could be something that involves the law or the courts. It could just be something that's prophetically being revealed for the future under the anointing of God. And we had a radio broadcast a couple of years back, and I remember there was a word of knowledge concerning a woman that was going through foreclosure. And almost instantly, God began to minister to her. And by the time we got the testimony, within 2 to 3 days of that word of knowledge, that she had experienced such a breakthrough that the money was available for her, so she was able to pay her mortgage. Praise God. So these are words of wisdom that are revealed at certain times. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's look at the next one here. Number 3, the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits is a revelation gift as well. And this is probably one of the most interesting ones. And I believe that this is probably one of the ones that really we need to begin to stir in the churches today, especially for many of those that are coming out of traditional churches. And they're trying to gravitate toward more kingdom churches where there's kingdom life and there's there's a flow of God's spirit and there's a freedom of the Lord that's in the place. Amen. We really need to begin to stir up and really impart and this gift into others. The discerning of spirits deals with the comprehending of the human spirit supernaturally revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is not the discerning of demons, but the discerning of the human spirit, both good and bad. Let me make sure that I make that clear. Because a lot of times when we talk about the discerning of spirits, the thing that we look for the most, we're always trying to find out if somebody got a devil. Everybody got a devil and everything is a devil. Amen. Certainly, you know, we believe in casting out devils. We certainly believe in deliverance. Amen. But everybody, every time you look at them, they ain't got no devil. Amen. Half the time, it's just you. It's just you with your little, your religious self. That's the problem right there. It's you with your issues. The devil sometimes ain't got to touch half of us because some of us ain't got sense enough to operate under the kingdom principles of God's word. We would rather be religious and traditional and have a carnal nature and not serve God whole. Praise God. So the discerning of spirits is the divine ability to see the presence and the activity of a spirit that motivates a human being. It gives insight into the spirit world. Both apostles and prophets, or any leader for that nature, operate in great degrees of these giftings. Believers profit tremendously in the church when these gifts are fully functioning. And I believe that this is even essential, especially if you're one of those ministries that have intercessors, where intercessors are well equipped and they operate strongly in the ministry. Intercessors should be able to to discern spirits as well. This is probably, again, which is very necessary and I think essential to our ministry operation in our church age today. We really need this operating in an even greater degree. People need to be more aware and understand that it's essential for them to operate. Now, watch this. The discerning of spirits, and sometimes even the word of knowledge, can also be confused. So we have to be careful and not to confuse both. But a lot of times, because of the linking of these giftings, you know, you're able to operate in both, and sometimes even to an even greater degree. So let's look at the last category of giftings, and then we're going to wrap up our recording for the day. Amen. But we thank God for you as well, those that were able to join us on this morning. Praise God. We're going to look at the inspiration gifts. The inspiration gifts. The inspiration gifts or gifts of utterance. The inspiration gifts or the gifts of utterance. Amen. That's what we call them. These are the gifts also that say something. Amen. These are the gifts that say something. You got gifts that do something. You got gifts that reveal something. And then you got gifts that say something or they utter something. Amen. So the inspiration gifts, let's look at number one. Number one is the gift of tongues. Amen. I did a teaching on the gift of tongues. Amen. I want to encourage y'all, if you're listening, amen, go back into the archive and really get a hold of that teaching. I think it's awesome in reference to operating and even in the area of prayer. Amen. The gift of tongues is the ministry of proclaiming in a public meeting a message from God in a language not understood by the person giving it. Let me say that again. The gift of tongues is the ministry of proclaiming in a public meeting a message from God in a language not understood by the person giving it. Amen. A lot of times, you know, we got people that speak in tongues, and some of them speak in tongues real loud, and some of them speak in tongues when they're casting out devils like they're trying to scare the devil with the tongues. They're real loud, and I mean, they go there. And a lot of times, you know, that's really not scriptural. But if it's also good, though, too, that people pray in the spirit anytime deliverance is going forth. I don't knock some of the techniques or the methods, but, you know, we need to use wisdom when we're operating, amen, especially in times of deliverance. Let's look at the number two. Revelation gift. I'm sorry, not revelation gift, the gift of utterance. The number two gift of utterance is the interpretation of tongues. Number two, the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues is when a message in tongues has been given. Then the interpretation of the tongues goes into operation. The message is interpreted supernaturally by the Holy Spirit through another person. Now, I'll say this, and I'll even, you know, correct even in my notes. I've even seen it in instances when there's been others that may get up and they begin to speak in tongues, and then from there they begin to prophesy. I never forget there was a gentleman I knew years ago. His name, we call him Prophet Hope, and he would stand up and he would begin to prophesy. But before he would prophesy, you know, the whole church, we just finished worship, and he would just go off into a series of tongues. And you know it was genuine because it would change up, and you can almost tell that it was another language that he was speaking in, not even a language that he knew. And that's why, you know, we do make reference to a language that somebody doesn't know or when they begin to speak in tongues. And when he would begin to speak, he would begin to also interpret by prophesying in the interpretation, and he'll say what thus says the Lord. And a lot of times that anointing will even leap over to the next person, and sometimes to the next, and before you know it, we've already had about four or five people that have spoken tongues and prophesied. So the gift of the interpretation of tongues is essential in this operation, and it does bring inspiration when it's done correctly, and when it's done correctly, it literally profits the church. Amen. That we literally begin to advance. A lot of times when we have meetings like that, the church would grow, people would get healed and delivered. You'd be surprised at the testimonies that would come forth, and people would already begin to experience healing as a result of the prophetic words that was released right after worship. The message ain't even been preached yet. because people in the congregation understood the sensuality or the operation and the administration of the gifts, that people were able to prosper and to able to advance because of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. So last but not least, amen, this is probably one of the most groundbreaking gifts in the scripture. Amen. And I really believe that every believer should the Bible says to covet the best gift. And I was asked this question years ago, what is the best gift? And I would say the best gift is prophecy. So let's look at this. The gift of prophecy is the anointed speaking forth the words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. Let me say it again. The gift of prophecy is the anointed speaking forth of words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. It says, matter of fact, let's back up because we talked about love, and I'm going to finish up with that. Let's back up to verse 1. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Paul says a mouthful right there and regarding the gifts of the Spirit. He says, follow after love, follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in the unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now he says another mouthful right there. Watch this. I'll even bring some of you all into just to kind of be more to be more mindful or be more observing when you're in many churches and around and surrounded by many different leaders. One of the things that I see a lot is that people who try to prove that they're prophetic, they like to speak in a lot of tongues. I mean, and they go to speaking in tongue after tongue after tongue, and before you know it, they didn't spoke in tongues for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then they say about a 50-second prophecy. And so Paul was trying to tell him, he said, look, you know, I know I can tell some of y'all want to prove that you gifted in the Spirit. He said, but I would rather that you just prophesy. He said, so for he that speaketh in the unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. I don't understand all them tongues you speaking in. You sit up in here, you walking back and forth on the platform and all around the church, and you speaking in all these tongues. When are you going to say something that I understand? Amen. And so look at verse 3. It says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification, unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4 says, he that speaketh in the unknown tongue edifieth himself. So that's scripture. When you speak your tongue, go in your prayer closet and pray in the Spirit. I guarantee you, you're going to build up yourself. But when you're doing it in public, you're not really building up yourself, because you got people that's listening to you chipper and jabber, and they don't understand what you're saying. So, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church, or builds the church up. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. And verse 6 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? In other words, the tongues ain't profiting you, nobody, nothing, if I don't understand what you're saying. So Paul is telling us how to profit in the inspiration gifts. He's telling us exactly in the word. He says, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So apostolic and prophetic churches, kingdom people, whatever you want to call it, fully operating these giftings of the Holy Spirit. The function of the church is to cover the prophecy. And that's what I was saying earlier. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And then verse 40, I love it. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. Amen. So we gotta understand here, and I'm gonna wrap up this series right here. We gotta understand here that God wants us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I know we got kooky people out there that they're trying to use the gifts to manipulate people. Amen. But when you got the gifts of the Spirit that's been taught and based upon the foundation and the unity of the church, there should never be any issue on why or not allowing your people to flow strongly in the gifts of the Spirit. I've been in some churches, and you can walk up in the church and you can feel the love when you walk up in there. People will greet you at the door, and they'll love you or welcome you. Some churches are really good. They give you even welcome packages. They give you little grab bags when you guest and so on and so forth, and they make you feel real comfortable when you come and sit. But a lot of times the format and the tradition is so heavy and the religion is so strong that all you see is the regular mundane Sunday morning service, and the pastor get up and preach, and there's no implementation of the gifts of God. The congregation is still stuck in tradition. They all got the choir up singing, and that's all right, and that's fine and dandy. But anytime the song of the Lord goes forth, and anytime there's great worship, there should be prophecy that precedes it. And then in that case, when prophecy precedes it, that means that you should be teaching the people how to prophesy. Everybody should be able to prophesy, and it's not always under the gift of prophecy when strong worship go forth. Everybody should be able to flow strongly under that anointing. And so we need more churches, and we need more leaders and more believers that are being raised up to learn how to profit the church through unity and love and through the advancement of the kingdom, through the use of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. So we just thank God. I give God praise. Amen. For this message. Amen. For this two-part series. I thank God for those that were able to participate, and that we were able to record and capture the message. Amen. And all those that were able to listen live. Amen. Listen, you may not be able to be a part of this ministry. You may not be able to come to Temple, Texas no time soon. Amen. But we will still like to ask you to participate in your giving. And you can actually go to our website right now and go to www.kingdomexusia.org. Amen. And you can click on the link where it says sow a seed. Amen. And you can be a part of what God is doing. We got so many wonderful things coming up, and there's some traveling, and then we need more equipment. We want to be able to reach God's people and to an even greater degree. I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all like to see us live on video? Amen. And we would like to be able to put out DVDs and CDs, amen, and just even be able to give them away as a form of evangelism, amen, to be able to reach God's people even to a greater degree. Amen. So if God put it on your heart, amen, to sow a seed, amen, as a result of this message on today, amen, go ahead and do so. Amen. Don't hesitate. The Lord put it in your heart. Amen. If you know that this word really blessed you, amen, you can go ahead and you can be a part of the giving on today. Amen. And be a blessing to the kingdom. Again, that's it. Go to the website. It's at www.kingdomexusia.org. Amen. And you can sow a seed offering right there. Amen. If you can't, do an online seed offering, amen, you can always mail your offering as well, amen. You can go right to our P.O. box, which is P.O. box 431 Temple, Texas 76502, amen. We also want to open up the doors for prayer, amen. You can contact the ministry at any time of the day. We do have prayer warriors on standby, amen, and you can click on their extension number by going to our website as well under the prayer prophetic ministry link. Amen. And just dial the number live at 1-800-724-0245. Praise God. We just thank God for you. Amen. And we ask you right now that you will have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Amen. Let us go ahead and release you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word on today. We bless you right now, Father, for being able to focus in on the flow of the Holy Ghost in your congregation, Father, and for the advancement of the kingdom. Lord, I stir up every gift of the Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to every gift that's laying dormant on the inside of each and every one that is listening, Father, into their bellies, God. Father, I stir them up right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I release it right now with love, Father. And Lord, I even pray that you would cause them, Father, to get into a place where they can be able to be unified with the people of God's kingdom, Lord. in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just discourage any form of tradition and religion right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bind up every Pharisean spirit, Father, and every Sadducean spirit, Father. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, cause your people to come on one accord in one place at one time, Father, and give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I thank you right now, Father, that you continue to cover us with your blood, Father, and keep us in your perfect peace in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we bless you right now, and we give you the glory. I bind up every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
As the spirit of Elijah come forth, that the Lazarus generation, those that have been buried, oh God, by the criticism and the social status and the labor that the culture of this world have placed upon them, that this Lazarus generation will rise. When the spirit of Elijah is released, there's going to be a resurrection power. But God, in that the Lazarus generation
signs,
will come forth.
Wonders, miracles.
Signs,
wonders, miracles. Signs, wonders, miracles. Yeah. Signs, wonders, miracles. Signs, wonders, miracles. Yeah. Signs, wonders, miracles of the mandate of the generation.
Release the sound, yeah. Release the sound, release the sound.